Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 everyone. This is the Heart of the Hood Show, and I'm your host, Eric Hood. This evening, I have an awesome message for us. I mean, an awesome one. This is going to be powerful, and it's going to be such a revelation to you. It is going to open you up to what's, shall I say, the true heart of God. Jesus. And the title of this message is The Truth About the Transfiguration of Jesus. The Truth About the Transfiguration of Jesus. We are going to go in depth into this here scenario that's in the Bible. And it is going to open our minds up to some outstanding things. Jesus. Oh, I'm excited about it. But you know how we do it at the Heart of the Hood Show. Y'all already know how we do it. Y'all know how we kick this thing here off. That's right, with prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being my Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for being so awesome. We thank you for being so awesome, so faithful, so trustworthy. And Father, we are thankful that you are faithful to your word. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. We thank you that you will never change on us. We thank you for giving us life. We thank you for never leaving us. We thank you that it is your desire for us to know the true you. We thank you that it is your desire for to see us to live a full life in an abundance, in the full till it overflow. We thank you that it is your desire that we enjoy life. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we thank your only begotten Son for his shed blood, Jesus. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, people, here we go. Today we are finna to discuss this here transfiguration thing. You know, you heard a lot of things about it. But I'm finna go in depth, and we finna see what's going on. Because, see, that whole episode really had nothing to do with the transfiguration of Jesus, as much as it had to do with Jesus transferring Jesus. Transitioning. And I'm about to prove it to you in the Word. I'm about to show you in the Word so we can see. And I'm going to Luke 9. Luke chapter, because this episode was written in the book of Matthew and the book of Mark as well as Luke. But I like Luke because Luke gives more detail. He goes into more detail about it. So that's why I am going to be in that gospel. And I'm starting in Luke chapter 9. I'm starting at verse 28. And it says, Now it came to pass about 8 days after these things that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came overshadowed them, and they were fearful, and they entered the cloud. Wow. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of these things they had seen. Now the scripture says that he took Peter, John, and James. You know, if you notice that he always took just those three on a certain real high important moves that he made. And it was always those three. And I always wonder, why was it just them three and you already had 12? You had 12, not counting the other ones who had left. But he had these main 12, but he always took just those three with him. And, you know, Peter represents the rock. The rock. You know, when Jesus asked them, he said, whom do people say that I am? And they said, some said Elijah, some said great prophet. You know, and Peter said, no, and then Jesus said, whom do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Son of God. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus told Peter, he said, you didn't get that from man. Boy, you got that from my daddy. My daddy gave you that. And he said, on that revelation right there, what you got, that you know who I am, that's the rock that I'm going to be a young. On that revelation is what's going to be on this rock. That's it, right there. Then you got John. John represents grace and mercy. Jesus. You know, the scripture says over in the book of John, in the first chapter, it says that Moses brought the law. He said, but Jesus came with grace and truth. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Then we got James. And James represents heal, the heal. You remember over in Genesis when God had told Satan, he said, your head is going to bruise his heel. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Ooh, this thing is connected so hard and heavy. Mess me up. Now the Bible said that Jesus was praying. Transfiguration took place. Can you imagine the type of prayer that Jesus was doing? Can you imagine? The Bible said that he was praying, and this took place. See, in order to be sort of brought out of your own body and for the glory to come on you, you got to have a strong prayer life. You got to have a strong prayer life. You can't be playing games. You see, that area there is not for wimps. It's not for weak people. You got to be strong in the spirit for that type of transformation to take place. Then the Bible says, two other men appeared with Jesus. And the Bible said that one of them was Moses, and the other one was Elijah. Now I thought about that, and I'm like, why out of all the people in the Bible, why Moses and Elijah? Why not Abraham? This is your friend. Why not David? This was a guy whose heart was after yours. Why not him? But the Bible said that it was Moses and Elijah. And they were talking to Jesus about his death. They had a conversation about Jesus' death, about what was about to take place in Jesus' life. And Moses represents the law, the first five books of the Bible, another name, the Pentateuch. Pentateuch means five. And Moses represents the first five books of the Bible, the law. Elijah represents the prophets, the ones who spoke of Jesus coming. That's all they could do was speak of Jesus coming. I don't care how they said it, but that's all they could say was, prepare yourself, Jesus coming. Prepare yourself, Jesus is coming. Prepare yourself, Jesus is coming. That's all they can say. Because they didn't have the New Testament. Then the Bible said that Peter said, Lord, it is good that we see this here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Lord, have mercy. And the Bible said that loud voice and a cloud came over them and took them up in the cloud, and they feared. And the voice said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. And when they opened their eyes, all they saw was Jesus. God was telling them that you will not build a building for the law. It's done away with. You will not build a building for the prophets. Done with that. You are going to build anything, it is going to be for my son Jesus, because remember now, Jesus said over in Matthew 5, Jesus said, think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I come to fulfill it. Everything was fulfilled in Jesus. And Jesus was transferring. Jesus was taking the baton, peace, from Moses and Elijah and telling them, you've done your job. You done fulfilled your plan. You done fulfilled your purpose. Elijah, you done your job. You done fulfilled your purpose. Now, pass the baton, because what you did, Moses, and what you did, Elijah, what you started, which is about me anyway, all that is about to be fulfilled in my death, in my resurrection, and in my ascension. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. This means that All the law, boy, I'm about to get in trouble with this one here. All the law that we still look at today that Peter was talking about, Lord, let us build a tabernacle for Moses. All the law that we still worry about today, such as tithing. Ooh, Lord, have mercy, I'm about to get in some trouble. The Sabbath day, first fruits, Lord Jesus. This is why we have all this stuff about seven-day adventures. We got folks want to be gung-ho on tithing. We got folks that love to talk about the Sabbath, and we have to obey the commandments and all this stuff here. Jesus saying, I've already fulfilled it because you can't do it. You can't fulfill it. I'm the only one that can fulfill it. Then we got the prophecy over here, and Peter. I mean, because it's just like today. We got folks want to continue to talk about tithing. You got the tithe 10%. You got the tithe 10% and bring them to the house so that the windows of heaven can open up and pour you out a blessing. You won't have room enough to receive the law. Been fulfilled in Jesus. Got folks talking about, well, we need to honor the Sabbath. Most of them don't even know what the Sabbath is. Some of them need to honor some Sabbath. Don't have a clue what it is. Lord, hammer. Then we got the prophecy. And Peter said, Lord, let us build the tabernacle for Elijah. And apparently what they was doing, they was actually prophesying judgment on folks, and you got so-called prophets today that think that when they come to a church or they stand before a church and they go to speaking judgment on folk, and God, and I hear the Lord saying that you better clean your house up, that you better stop fornicating, that you better stop doing adultery, you better stop doing drugs, you better stop this here, or God is going to put some, God is going to bring the wrath down, and all this old mess here. Let fire come from heaven and burn it up. Let fire come. Jesus said, I fulfilled all that in my death, in my resurrection, in my ascension. You better shut your mouth, Jesus. And this is why we have so many misunderstood people in the world, because we have a church that's misrepresenting the Bible. And we spew this stuff out to people who don't get any words, who just want to listen to some preacher tell them what the Bible say, what they think it say, and get full of deception, and they take that mess out to the world and spew all that deception on the world. Because the only understanding and outlook that the world is going to have of God is going to come through the church. It's going to come through the body of Christ. Lord, have mercy. Let me show you something over here in Luke chapter 16, verse 16. And this is dangerous right here. Jesus said over in Luke 16, verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Jesus said, the law and the prophets were preached until John. Until John the Baptist, the law and the prophets were preached. Listen to this here, what I'm about to tell you. This here, Lord, I'm about to get in trouble again. This here is going to change. The law and the prophets were preached until John. Anything you preach after John, if it's not the kingdom, is unbiblical. Oh, Jesus. Let me read it to you again, man. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. It's what the Bible says. Which means that when you got people who want to preach to you about tithing, when you got people who want to preach to you about the Sabbath, when you got people who want to preach to you about obeying commandments, when you got people who want to always come and prophesy damnation over you, and want to charge you for prophecy. You got these $500 prophecy lines, the $100 prophecy lines, the one need to buy them foolishness, and a whole bunch of rest of them, all these prophecy lines and stuff like this. It's unbiblical. It is unbiblical. The Bible said that Jesus himself said, the law and the prophets preached unto John. He said, but since then, the only thing that's being preached is the kingdom of God. Anything else you're preaching other than the kingdom of God now today is out of order. Is out of order. And we wonder why the church is in the rut that it's in. We wonder why so many people in in the church, in the body of Christ, struggle in every area. In every area. I mean, doors are closing on the body of Christ like crazy. Every time they go for a job, the door shut. Bam, ain't got nothing for you. Sickness hitting them everywhere. Poverty hitting them everywhere. I mean, all type of divorce going on. Oh, I mean, stuff that shouldn't even be named among the Christians. And it's because we're in the wrong era. We're in the wrong era. And we got to get back to preaching the kingdom of God. Have to. If the church want to grow in strength, this is why there's no power in the church. This is why there's no respect in the church. Because the kingdom of God is not being preached. The church is just like Peter, talking about let's build a tabernacle for the Lord. Let's stay here. Let's stay in something that's dead. Let's stay in something that's been done away with. Let's stay in something that's been disannulled. Let's stay in this dead era. Let's stay in this dead realm and continue to speak about tithing. Let's continue to tithe. Let's continue to do the things that are dead, that are gone, that are done away with. Then we wonder why the only people in the church that are prospering financially is the pastor and his family. Everybody else struggling. Even struggling to quote unquote what they would call tithe. We want to stay in this dead era of that false prophecy. We want to stay in that dead building, that dead realm, that dead location, that dead spirit of this false prophecy, and we wonder why we have all type of mishaps happening in our life, because we allow people to stand over our lives and spew that mess into our lives. And that junk come to pass in the spirit realm when folks be throwing that stuff over your life, speaking those false prophecies, and then you are so desperate for things that happen because you're so needy, and you go and give your money to these false prophets because you're looking for a word so bad. You're looking for a word so bad versus getting in the word yourself. Then you wonder why things happen in your life, and the first thing you'll say is, God must be doing something in this. Here. God must be doing something. No. God ain't doing nothing in it. It's you in it allowing the devil to kill you because you're still in that dead building that's been erected because of the law, because of the prophets, which has been done away with and been fulfilled in Jesus. You're not looking to the kingdom of God, but you're still in the law and the prophets. Jesus said that the law and prophets was until John. Since then, the kingdom of God is being preached. This is what's supposed to be being preached, the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, there is no poverty. The kingdom of God, there is no sickness. The kingdom of God, there is no divorce. The kingdom of God, there is no deception. The kingdom of God, there is no stunts and tactics. But it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is what's going on in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God is equality. In the kingdom of God, everything belongs to the king. And we do not have to suffer at all. Everything is at our disposal because we are his children. And we got to learn kingship, not law, not prophets. We got to learn kingship. And until we get into that realm, the church will continue to go about this business, struggling, and folks will keep going to church every Sunday, going to holler and fall out and getting pushed down and spit on, and they wave their handkerchief and the whole row fall out and just run their money on upstairs to the pastor and all this here, and think they in a good word, and woo, we pass, I receive that word, and all this here foolishness. Keep on tithing, keep on giving your money to the preacher, keep on doing all this here foolishness, and you'll go your entire Christian life struggling because when you look up, the only one you're supposed to see, Lord have mercy, is Jesus. Because everything has been fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law of the prophets. I come to fulfill. Everything has been fulfilled in Jesus. This is why Jesus was able to get on the cross and say these three words, it is finished. Everything is done in Jesus. And until we get a clean knowledge of that, the church will continue to be in that dead building of law. The church will continue to be in that dead building of prophecy. And the church will continue to be being chased by the government, chased by Caesar's people, chased by Pontius Pilate's people, chased by the government, serving the government, slaving for the government, continue to be in that realm. Because until you come up out of that law, until you come up out of that prophet, you can no wise be a part of the kingdom of God. Because it comes through Jesus. It doesn't come through Moses. It doesn't come through Elijah. No. It doesn't come through the law. It doesn't come through the prophets. It has been fulfilled. All that has been, bam, put in Jesus. And he's the only one who could fulfill it perfectly. See, because, see, when we speak about the law, see, God doesn't grade on the curve. No, God don't do no 98 and 99% and you're good. No. See, God is perfect. And he wants 100% perfection. No one can do it but Jesus. This is why God was able to say, this is my beloved son in whom I well pleased. Because everything was fulfilled in him. And the Bible says over in Isaiah 40 that he paid double, which means that God was more than satisfied. More than satisfied. And it was like a sweet-smelling savior going to God's nostril. Until we get this here down pat and come up out of those dead tabernacles, we won't be able to look up. Because when you look up, the only one you're going to see is Jesus. You won't see the law. So see, when you tithing, you won't see Jesus there. So you can hold your tithe and money up all you want to and go to praying over it and praying and decreeing over it all you want to. But Jesus ain't got nothing to do with it because it's been disannulled. Over in Hebrews it said it's been disannulled. So you can go and allow those false prophets to lay hands on you and spew and speak that mess over your life all you want to. Jesus ain't got nothing to do with that. I'm trying to help you with this. I'm trying to help you. Jesus ain't got nothing to do with it. You better get a revelation of that transfiguration move and realize that it has less to do with the transfiguration, but everything to do with the transferring, with the passing of the baton. Jesus said, you done your duty. Now it's on me. I got it from here on out. And when I get on the cross and say, it is finished, and give up the ghost, bam, the Holy Ghost hit the town. You got to get a revelation. I'm trying to help us. So we need to come up out of this here deception. It's deception. It is not God. God does not want us to be ignorant of this here. He wants us to come into some wisdom. You have to get in your word. Check those scriptures out. You go to Luke 9 and check it out for yourself. You go to Matthew 5, check it out for yourself. You go to Luke 16, check it out for yourself. You go to John 5, check it out for yourself. You got to get in the Word. Get in that Word. Get an understanding of the kingdom of God, because that's what's supposed to be being preached in the church. That's what's supposed to be being preached in the body of Christ. That's what is supposed to be being manifested in the lives of the body of Christ. And it can only manifest in our lives if we do away with that tabernacle of law. We do away with that tabernacle of prophecy. And when we look up, all we see is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God loves us, and he wants us to enjoy him, because he really wants to enjoy us. So until next time, this is Eric Hood. This is the Heart of the Hood Show. We'll be back with some more. I love you. That's why I'm doing it, because I love you. More than that, God loves you, and he wants to reveal himself to you. Allow him to. Let those tabernacles go. Rise up and look at Jesus. Peace.